Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you straight from Bein Chomot Yerushalayim from the famous pub Daf Pei Beit is Daf Pei Beit. Third line. Amale Ravuna L'Rabba Berei. Ravuna want to ask his son Rabba, how come you never go to attend the Shirim of Rav Chisda? My time of Shkicha Kamei Rav Chisda, where he's like, he's really sharp. Mechadad in Shemaitetai, he's got everything absolutely straight. Amale, so Rabba, his son, told him, what's the point of going there? Every time I go there, all I get is a discussion of nonsense. Every time I go there, he starts sitting me down and teaching me things I can get in my local hygiene class. You know, I don't need to go to yeshiva for that. He tells me stuff like how to go to the bathroom. I need him to tell me how to go to the bathroom. He tells me, you know, don't go sit down suddenly because you can cause yourself damage. Don't use too much muscle pressure. You might end up damaging your rectum. I got to go to him to hear about my rectum. He starts explaining how the rectum is supported by three places in the muscle tissue and so on. Because you put on too much pressure, you may tear one of the connective tissues, and then you're going to have problems, you won't be able to move your balls. God, heaven's sakes. You know, I can go to university for that. So his father told him, I don't understand you. Who has the he's dealing with those important things. With the way you need to learn how to live. That you call that you call a waste of time. Call Shikain Zilog. That's even more of a reason to go learn by him. Anyway, getting back to our sukkah. Hayulafanat Soror Vacheres. Now, we've been talking about the various materials that one is allowed to use, not allowed to use on Shabbat, for a bathroom cleanup purposes. So suppose you have a choice between using a soror, which is mukta, but which we allowed you because of kavod habriot, as we said, we allow you to use gadol kavod habriot to use a certain number of tzorot, or you could use a broken plate, cheres, and the cheres isn't mukta here. We'd be talking about which still serves a purpose. You could use it for something like its original purpose, so it's not mukta. What's better? I mean, the cheres does have some small element of possibly cutting yourself with, or so on. Which would be better? So Ravuna says, well, it's better to use the tzor. Never use cheres, because once the Rabbanim were matir using the mukta, well, you don't want to use something that has any downside. So even though the chances of cutting yourself with it are small, nonetheless, it's not kedai. Just use the tzor.
Is the cheres mukta?
No, the cheres is not mukta. That's the question. Should I better use the non-mukta?
It's shivrei kli.
That's why I said that the cheres is still usable for some of its mukta burning. And Barnea isn't even here, and you fell into a Barnea timer? That's amazing. Rav Chisda says, no, it's better to be mekaneh b'cheres and not to be mekaneh b'tzor. It's a minimal risk. Meitvei, doesn't the Brayta say, ayula fanan tzor b'cheres, mekaneh b'cheres? Veinu mekaneh b'tzor. Better to take the non-mukta thing than take the mukta thing, which is a tiyuv to the Ravuna. Tir gemara from bar papa, kamei the Rav Chisda, aliv the Ravuna. Look, I mean, we didn't want to leave Ravuna without his defenders. Rafram Bar Papa, and Rav Chisda was a little bit happy, you know, gloating a bit. Well, it's just like I said in the Braita. So in defense of Ravuna, he says, you know, that's talking about when it says, Cheres, it's talking about the Ogne Kil. That's the bottom. Everything is smooth. Everything is rounded. Nothing there that could cut you. But if there's anything at all that might be some level of endangering your lovely skin, then perhaps Ravuna is right. So Ravuna, we can't bring a right. How about if I use a tzror, which is mukta, or asabim? Now, the question is, what are we talking about when we say asabim? Rashi says that his rabbeim were mefarish, and the way he understands what they mefarish is that these are plants that are still connected to the ground. Now, those plants connected to the ground, obviously, there's always, you know, the chance that you could pull them out, but that certainly is not your intent. You want to use this, you know, weed or whatever, not pull it out of the ground, and there's no gezeira against using mechubel karka unless it's more than 3 tefachim out. You can't use a tree on Shabbos, so you could break off a branch. But there's no gezeira on anything that is close to the ground. So now the question is, what is better? Is it better to use the tzor, which even though it's mukta, but nonetheless the chachamim allowed you to use it, or is it better to use the asabim? Because there's no gezeira against the use of the asabim. He himself suggests that fresh asabim, weeds often have sharp edges, and therefore there's elements of sakana there. That's how he sees it. Similar to the machlokes about cheres that we just had. But the truth is, after presenting the sheet of his Rabbeim, he sort of flows into their approach for the rest of the Sugya. So Rav Chista, Rav Nuna, we don't know which one says which, but we know one of them says, Chanomar, better to use the Mukta and not the Asavim. Chanomar mekaneh b'asavim, v'ino mekaneh b'tzroh. Ask the Gemara, how the heck could you possibly use Asavim for the bathroom? That would be as awful as using toilet paper. Everybody knows that's the worst thing you should use, because it says, someone who uses a flammable material for cleaning himself in the bathroom, he might as well tear out his rectum. That's awful. So you'd never want to use toilet paper. So how could you use asavim? We're talking about if they're fresh or damp, then their ur is not going to be shown. You're not going to be able to burn them. So there's no problem. What the braita was referring to is dried asavim, which we call paper. That is terrible. Somebody who needs to move his bowels and doesn't. Rav Chista Ravina Karamar Ruach Raha Shaletet Bo. So Machlok is over here. Some say that he gets halitosis from this. Another say that he gets bad body odor from this. There's an actual braita that refers to exactly the shita of body odor. The Tanya Nitzel is Gavah. Somebody who needs to move his bowels. And he does, and instead he takes another meal, figures, yeah, we'll put it off. He's like a tanur that you leave all the old ashes in, and now you start another fire. I mean, that's an extremely inefficient use of the tanur. And in terms of humans, it's the beginning of getting your body into a bad state. You'll start having bad odors. How about if you need to go to the bathroom and you can't? So notice these are all Rav Chista sugyas, where Rav Huna was trying to get Rabba to go attend Rav Chista shiurim that were very, very detailed about bathrooms. He thought his son could use some of that. Anyway, so Rav Chista said, well, the thing to do is, you know, you stand up, you sit down, stand up and sit down, and gradually you loosen your bowels by that movement, up and down, up and down. Rav Kanan Mida Anarada says, well, maybe you should try somewhere else, you know. You start like with studying, man, that's better. So go to the side, try another place. Rav Amnun Amar, Yimashmesh Bitzror Batomakom, as I saw earlier, you sort of try to stimulate your bowels by poking around. Rabbanan Amar Yasir Bato. Rabbanan says, think about something else. Turn on your computer. That's the worst thing. If you start watching a movie, for sure you'll forget about going to the bathroom. So Koshkini Masak Batilomafni. Amar, I said, think about something else. I mean, don't think about anything else. Yasiach Bato Mi Lori Mafri. Turn aside, turn off that computer. Don't read that novel. Put aside your newspaper. Even your new scientist. Oh gosh. And concentrate on going to the bathroom. Amar of Yirmi Abadifti, I could tell you that I actually watched this Arab. They're not too careful about who sees them in the bathroom. I saw this Arab go up and down until the guy was pouring like a pot. Somebody's going into a dinner where there's other people, and it's embarrassing to get up. I mean, in the middle of a wedding, you know, you're going to wait, get up, move over, sorry, need the bathroom, where the jerk going, ah, get out of the way. So that is really not what you want to do. You want to make sure that you're not going to need the bathroom in the middle of the meal. Thing to do is walk around. So take 10 times, do an Arba Amot walk, checking yourself, and maybe you can use the bathroom now. Four times, go 10 amot, then use the bathroom, then go in, sit down like a man, she won't have to get up again. And Richie has been practicing all night. He's gotten rid of the Russian accent, but he's going to give us a real.
Look, the Helika Mishnah.
Sounds a little bit like the Bronx, but all right. Cheres kedelitein ben patsim lechaveron. A broken piece of cheres. What would be the usable shear on Shabbat mimchav yifra chutzah? Well, you're stacking wood, long beams, korot. If there's any type of movement in those korot, then they're going to warp. So what you do is you put in little tiny pieces of stones or cheres in order to make sure that they're flat and that they're under pressure and that they won't warp. And that would be a very useful thing to do with a broken piece of cheres. And that indeed would be the shear of Hotza'ah. Give Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Cheres, best thing for Cheres is kedei lachtot bo et ha'ur. If you want to get a coal out of a fire, poke around in a fire, you need a piece of ceramic. I mean, that's why they use ceramic for space shuttle tiles, for heaven's sake. So the best thing to use ceramics for is against heat. But the ocean, there, you would need to have a piece that would still have an area that it could contain water in. So Kedela Kabelbo Revi'i should have a shear of being able to hold a revius of water. Omer Rabbi Meir, look, I cannot prove it to you from the Pasuk 100%, but I can certainly bring you a Pasuk that indicates that I am right. There's indications in the Pasuk. Because where the Navi is describing to Yisrael what good it is to rely on international treaties with Egypt, and, you know, you think everything's going to be great, and the Navi describes the way there won't be even a little tiny piece of material left from your border fences after they smash it all, and nothing left. So it says over there, lo yimatzei b'mechitato cheres lachtot esh miyakud. Ha! There won't even be a broken piece of pottery left big enough to get out a coal from a fire. So if that's what the Navi's referring to, says Rabbi Meir, I mean, obviously he's going to be taking an example of something as a standard use. He's saying, you're not even going to get your minimal usage. That's the raya that that's the minimal usage. I'm going to Rabbi Yossi, oh man, Misham Raya? You're trying to bring me some kind of proof from there? How about continuing the pasuk? I love the way you stop right at the point where it's a raya to me. And what's the next words? Vilaksof Mayim Igeve. To get a little water out of a puddle. Ha ha ha. That's what I said this year was, to get a revius out of a puddle. Well, the Navi refers to that also. Now look, if you just read the Mishnah, naively, what would you think is the larger shear? I mean, obviously, Mistavra, I mean, a little piece of, to be able to grab a coal doesn't require a big container of a revius. So you would certainly think that the shiur of Rabbi Yossi is larger. The thing is, though, that when you read the Pasig, it seems clear that the shiur of Rabbi Meir is larger, because Yitzhak Adait of shiur of Rabbi Yossi Nafish, if Rabbi Yossi shiur is larger than Rabbi Meir, does it make sense that Yishayahu is cursing them out? But you said, no, you're not going to find a big enough piece for grabbing a little coal, and you won't even find a bigger piece. Well, it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, you should have said it the other way around. So obviously, the piece of taking a little bit out from the geva, from the puddle, sounds like it's got to be smaller. You then say, and even a bigger piece you won't find. Rabbi, well, what we're referring to here, even in the Mishnah, was laktot esh miyikida gedola. It's not a question of a large enough piece to be able to handle. It's a large enough piece to be able to get close enough to grab, which is a much bigger piece. Because now, if you have a yikida gedola, you have a large fire. It's all very nice once you've gotten the coal out. Say, I don't need very much to handle it. If it's ceramic, you're right. It's a good insulator. But how are you going to get close enough to grab it? And that's where everything was saying was indeed was a gedola. Says Rabbi Yossi, well, how come you don't read the rest of the pasuk? How come you only tell people half of the story? Misham Raya? And then that's a good point. Shapra Kamala Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir. How does Rabbi Meir excuse the fact that the last part of the pasuk indeed is more mashma like Rabbi Yossi? Says Rabbi Meir, well, that's the whole point that Yishayahu is making. He's saying, lo mi boi mita dechashuv inin shelo dishtaka. Listen here. You're not going to find anything usable, which is your coat, like a piece of coal. And you'll think, okay, well, something, maybe I'll at least have a little thing, which is useless, it's got to be Shabbos, but I'll have a little something, like get a little water. No, even to get something out of a petal, you won't find. That's the point. And therefore does not count towards the Otsar of Shabbos. The whole Pasuk is clearly saying like what I'm saying, because otherwise, what's the point saying two things? Just saying small. Nah. So therefore, QED. Hadron alach hamotzi yayin
neder.
Funked on. Now we've got volumes.
Omar
Rabbi Akiva. Minayin la'avodah zarah shemetama b'masah kenidah. Now what the heck is this doing here? I mean, we know we had this in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Why would we start discussing Avodah Zarah in the middle of this whole sugya? Rashi says, well, basically we're really trying to get to the next piece, which this is a list of various remazim in the Pasuk. We're trying to get to the thing about Mila, that on the third day, what you're allowed to do, which is also a list, part of this list. And therefore, we introduce it with Minayin Lavodah Zarah Shemetama B'Masah, which was part of the Limudim Tosfos says that's really a weird explanation because, I mean, first, why are we interested in discussing Mila here when we have a whole parak of Reb Eliezer to Mila later? That's where we should have discussed Mila. On the contrary, must be we're bringing Mila agav this discussion, but what the heck is this discussion doing here? Tosfos says the reason this discussion is here is because we see it as a continuation of Rebbe Meir's raya at the end of Perek Hamotzi, which we just finished. And there we had the last thing was the Seichel Adav of Rebbe Meir, which came from Yeshayahu. In that same parak of Yeshayahu, we have this discussion about the waking up to the absurdity of Avodah Zarah and how Klal Yisrael is ultimately going to recognize how idiotic this stuff is and they'll throw it out and so on. Now, the Ron explains in Rashi that actually the discussion over here involving Mila, Avodah Zarah, and the issues that we're about to discuss, Rashi is taking for granted that all of these things were Nogei Shechem. So that the din of Mila being the third day, Ke'ev on the third day, which is where we bring it from, Biyotim Ko'avim, has to do with our reaction in a Kana'ut situation to elements that are Nogei Shechem. So what that's doing over here, that already doesn't explain why we wouldn't wait for Rebbe Eliezer to Mila. But obviously something very important is missing, because Rashi is taking for granted and not relating it as to what's the same parak in Yeshayahu, don't you think that's Nogei? But remember, we've already seen pattern all over it, at the end of every parak introduces the beginning of the next parak. In which case, there's no reason to say that this is a hemshech of the previous parak, as Tosfos does, but rather, as Rashi says, primarily, this would be the Remez parak, and then we begin the Ramazim at the end of the previous parak, which introduces this. But that means, of course, that we're missing the main point. So let's try to keep our eyes open, see if we can identify somehow the main point.
It's not ball four.
Well, what would that be doing in Shabbos? Omer of Yakiva. But that's a beautiful point, right? Baal Peor, of course, the central point of Avodah Zarah is bathrooms. That's Baal Peor, that's the big anus god, you know. So, if that's the point, then bathrooms are directly connected. We'll see the Malbim Shad in the Pasuk that Rabbi Akiva brings actually has Ramosim to that. Om Rabbi Akiva, Minayim Avodah Zarah Shematamah B'masa. Where do we see that Avodah Zarah Shematamah B'masa Kenida as the same din of Tumat Masa? I mean, if you carry Avodah Zarah without coming into contact with it, there's no tumat masa, that maga. Nonetheless, no matter how far removed it is from your actual skin, it would be matambi b'masa. The way that if you carry around a nida, which we learn out from hanoseat azav, and that means the actual body of azav, you'd carry around, you'd become tamei. Shinemar tizreim kemo dava tzei tomar lo. That the Navi is saying, you know what, the way you're going to react to this Avodah Zarah, you're going to throw it, tizreim, the pashut meaning tizreim, is rei ala, like we say with the ashes of the Torah, Zrei Hala, they were thrown, throw it away. Tzei Tomarla, which Papashtas means, tell it to get out of here. But here what the Malbim says is, call it, a four-letter word for excrement, Tzei Tomarla, call it, you know what? And that's a reference to Baal Peor, getting right back to our bedroom. So yeah, how do you like that? So, in any event, but the relationship is, Ma Nida Metame B'Masa. So this teaches us in Rabbi Akiva, still it's comparing it to Dava, Kimo Dava, Isha Dava, Zin Isha Nida. Ma Nida Mitam Abe Masa, Af Avodah Zarah, Mitam Abe Masa. Now, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, where we deal with these psukim, these 2 minutes, so it says over there, in the Mishnah, Tzanata, Mi Shaya Beito, Samuch La Avodah Zarah, somebody who owns a row home, in which there is a common wall that serves his house and the next door church. That's the Rashi learns here. The next door is a church. Problem is, if the next door is a church, then the building itself could only be maximally a Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, which doesn't have the same thing as Tumas Avodah Zarah itself, which creates problems in the sugya. Rashi in Avodah Zarah says that it's not a church. It is a holy building. Where people bow down to the actual building, or it's got these pictures on it, or the walls are formed, whatever it is, so they actually worship the Frank Lloyd Wright building. And therefore, we get into the dinim of Avodah Zarah. Actually, there's a little bit of a problem because of the Chovel Karka and all kinds of issues like that, which we shall wait to till we get to Masechet Avodah Zarah. But whatever the case is, the wall collapses. Now, if the wall collapses and you rebuild the wall of your home, essentially, you are rebuilding a wall for Avodah Zarah. And you don't want to do that. So what do? You move your wall back, and you build, therefore, a separate wall. Does it really need to be Arba Amot? Many do not have the gears of Arba Amot. The Rambam simply says Kanesa Tok Shalot. Doesn't have to be Arba Amot. It's Lav Dafka, which means we're going to have to learn the next piece of the sugya differently. The Balamora does not bring Arba Amot. This is Beferish. Arba Amot is Lav Dafka. Rashi learns Arba Amot is Dafka. It means that you have to have absolutely nothing in common, a different mokum. Sure, a different mokum. We learn not just like Peshabbos, Arba Amot, Peshatarabi. Of course, over there, the Gemara says, well, you know what happens if you're going to leave that space empty? They're just going to move the church more, so you'll have a bigger church. What's the use? And since the Gemara over there, make it a urinal. Great place for the church. So then they won't expand into that. All right. Anyway, you kind of don't show Arba Amot Bonah. Now, nothing so far is Nogea Arsuk, yeah? And if the wall belonged to you and to the Avodah Zarah B'Shutafut, so then, this is how Rashi learns, since we're talking about four Amot Dafka, you can take half of the space. So let's say the wall was four Amot thick, like it is in the Rova someplace. So then two of the Amot can be yours, and you only have to be mitrachek two Amot, l'toch shalom. Others who learn it's Lav Dafka, after all, cannot learn that Metzah means in terms of the space. So they learn other dinim in terms of the value and so on, whether there's any value to the parts of yours, and that gets into the whole shayla of Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo, in terms of why the whole thing didn't become Oser. Good. Now, the question is, what is the halacha of the waste material of the wall that has fallen down here? And this is where it's Nogeya Arasugya. Avanav, Eitzav, Afarav. All of these things being, as Rashi says, their actual Avodah Zarah. Here, Misham Shavodah Zarah, which is, we'll see in a minute, creates a problem if it's only a church. All of these things are Matamei Kisheretz, because it says, Shaketz de Shaktzenu. What's Shaketz de Shaktzenu? Treat it like a Sheketz. A Sheketz is a Sheretz. Ta'if de Ta'venu. Kicherenu. This only the Yisrael Avodah Zarah is compared to a Sheretz. And a Sheretz is Matamei Gumaga. The Sheretz is not Matamei Gumasa. Therefore, Ta'inu Rechachomim, as long as you don't touch this with your bare skin, you're not going to become tamei. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's much worse than that. It's like a nida, which is matamei b'masa, and therefore, even if you carry this stuff with gloves, it's going to be matamei you. Where do I know it from? Shenema tizreim kimod nadava. Just like a nida is matamei b'masa, afa v'dezora is matamei b'masa. Says Rabbi. There are indeed implications in the pasuk itself. This is how Tosfos understands. So Tosfos points out that we seem to have a fundamental problem here, which is, later on in the sugya, we are going to see that probably this whole idea is a din d'rabbanan. The Torah never says Avodah Zarah is literally tamei in the concepts of tumah v'taira. It's tamei in a spiritual sense, like we talk about tamei ochlin tameim. I mean, over there, don't eat chazir. It's tamei. That doesn't mean it's tamei, that it's metamei. Does anything would be true about Avodah Zarah? The Chachamim were gozer. Problem is, if the Chachamim were gozer, says Tosfos, the general rule is we search in any remez that we're using as the basis for the Takanah Rabbanan, we go lekula. In which case, we should learn out the kulas, both from Sheretz and from Nida. Sheretz and Nida both have kulas that the other one doesn't have. Sheretz is metame, not b'masa, only b'maga. That's a big kula. If you'd be wearing gloves, you wouldn't be tame if it touched a Sheretz. Nida has a big kula in that Nida is metama only if the body of the Nida is whole. If you have a piece of the body, then the Nida would not be metama. Whereas a Sheretz, a broken Sheretz, is metame. So we could say a broken Avodah Zarah is not metame. We should learn from Nida. And an entire Avodah Zarah is not metame unless you have come to contact with the Dramaga, which is Lakula. Why then? How do we explain our sugya consistently? Tosis has a problem. If the Mandiarmen that are arguing here hold it to the Oraita, then they should consistently be looking for a Chumra, which, as we'll see, they do not. If they hold that it's the Rabbanan, they should be consistently looking for a Kula, which, as we'll see, they do not. Therefore, Tosis understands brilliantly that what Rava is about to do is to show us why, when it comes to Nida, the Pasuk itself is telling us, do not use the comparison of for Avodah Zarah to Nida, Lekula. That's the point. Even though normally the rule would be go Lekula, here, because of the nature of Avodah Zarah, get it out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with it. That's the point. So what Rava says is, look at the words, Tizreim. That's a very strange usage of the word Tizreim. Throw them. And then you say, use the feminine. Say tomar lo, then it's a yochit, then it's kamo dava. What grammatically, what's going on? I'll tell you what the point is. Tizrein is a remez, not to the word, the simple meaning of zrei hala, but rather tizrim. Turn it into a czar. Make it alien to you. That's the point. So tizrim di on our craw, the remez here is nachrinu minach kizar. Make it alien to you. And obviously, say tomarlo should be a given. Ah, that's the point. Always figure out a way to get it further away from you. Say tomarlo. Hikanes al tomarlo. Don't ever look for an excuse to have something to do with it. That's the point. Mamela, the pasuk itself, is telling you not to be Darish Lakula. Lovely explanation. Yomar Rava. Therefore, Rava says, look, I want you to understand the Machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim over here, okay? Everybody agrees. Of course it's Betame Bimasa. Because the Rabbanim are not going to disagree with the facts. The fact is that the Torah compares it to Anita, then that's a given. So Kulei Yomar Lakula Betame Bimasa. Because it was Itkish Lenida. So you'll say, I understand, but why did they say Kishert? I'll tell you. There is a particular, unique Tumah B'Masa that would affect a Nida and not other cases of Tumas Masa. And this explains why we're talking about a Nida. Because look, we have a simple thing to compare it to. I mean, if we're talking about a Sheretz, wouldn't it make sense to compare it to a Nevela? If you compare it to a Nevela, a Nevela is just like a Sheretz, except it adds Tumah B'Masa. Okay? So, if you're telling me that I'm comparing it specifically to a Nida, now, there's one thing that a Nida has that an Avela doesn't have. Normally, I would tell you, yeah, you know what that thing is? Tumat Mishkav u'Moshav. Because any body that's Tumat Yotze Miguf, like a Zav, Zava, a Nida, if you lie down on something, you're Metamiet, like the princess and the pea. So even the bottom mattress, we kept telling me, that's a very Chomor Tuma. Now, the problem is, I mean, something that isn't alive, it can't be Matame with Mishkav Moshav. It doesn't lie on anything. It can only be Matame B'Masa. In which case, what's the point of the Nida? If you're holding up this thing, it's because of Masa. It's not because of Mishkav Moshav. Now, remarkably, there is a Tumah less well known that is a compromise of sorts between the Dinim of Tumas Mishkav Moshav and the Dinim of Tumas Masa. And it is so confusing that there's actually Machlokas Rishonim whether it's a type of Mishkav Moshav or a type of Masa. And because of that, it's a Machlokas Rishonim of how exactly one constructs this tomb. And that is called Evan Misama. Now, Evan Misama, the word Sama, comes from the story in Daniel, where in order to make sure that there's no way to escape, they took a crane, lifted up an enormous stone, Visuma al Puma, and then they lowered it with the crane. So Misama means extremely heavy, cannot be moved. No one person could come and move this thing away. You need a crane. Which is a way of saying a very heavy stone. What exactly this is? So Rashi learns this is a stone or something extremely heavy supported on something else which underneath it has keli. And then, let's say the nido, or in this case the avodah zarah, would be placed on top of the stone. Anything under the stone would become tameh. So that is weird, because why then would it be limited to things that are metameh in the Mishkav u'Moshav? I mean, you're not really lying on it. What is it, a symbolic lying? Which now becomes, so then why isn't anything tameh? Why only things that are royal to Tumas Mishkav u'Moshav? Therefore, I say, here's a different shot, in fact, it's not supported in anything. There are kalim directly beneath the stone, except that the point of the heavy stone is that the impact of the additional weight is negligible. And therefore, we would normally not have included it under Batami Mishkav u'Moshav, because if you got a 20-ton stone plus 100 pounds, I mean, but 100 pounds isn't really doing an act of Mishkav u'Moshav. You don't note the extra weight in the kli. And that is the Kaddish. Okay, you can see already here, so this gets into, so is this a subcategory of Masa? Or is it a subcategory of Mishkav u'Moshav? Because the Ramazim and the Pasuk seem to view it as Masa. And of course, that's what our Gemara seems to talk about. Metami like Anita B'Masa. Now we're calling Evan B'Sama Masa. Well, obviously, an Avodah Zarah can't really stretch down and stretch its legs over the Evan B'Sama. Okay, this is an extremely complex sugya. We don't have to get into the details. But the point is, if we're taking the Avodah Zarah as the example, then the Nida is the example for the Avodah Zarah, then it's clear we're not talking about a simple situation of Sheretz, where there's no Tumas Masa. We're not talking about a simple situation of Nevela, where there's typical classic Masa. We're talking about something else. What is that something else? Titus Rabbah, that's the whole point. The Rabbi Akiva is saying, if it's compared to Anita, so Rabbi Akiva is talking, it means all the way. Just like Anita's Batama Bevin Bisama, Afavan is Batama Bevin Bisama. Whereas Rabbanan is saying, no, that's the whole point of preparing it to Sheretz, is to tell me that if it's like shaketz to shaketzenu, then I was right. It can't mean literally a sheretz because it's also compared to a nida. Ah, so we strike a balance, right? Compared to a sheretz is not metame bevin misama, but it's also compared to a nida, so it is metame bemasa, but not bevin misama. So that is how the Rabbanan argues. But wait, according to Rabbi Akiva, why then are we comparing it to a sheretz at all, since he holds this as a complete across-the-board comparison to the nida, which subsumes all the dinim of tumah sheretz, which is only bimaga. Here it's bimaga, bimasa, plus even misama. Why compare it then on yilchata yitkish l'sheretz? Well, that's simple, says Rabbi Akiva. That is true, but not for the actual of a Zora, only for the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. So therefore, if you've got Avodah Zarah, you also have an altar. The altar isn't worshipped, but it holds the Avodah Zarah. Mishamshei Avodah Zarah are mitame a little bit less. They're not mitame b'masa, they're not mitame b'mesama, they're only mitame like a shaketz, shaktenu, like a sheretz. So that explains everything now. Leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Actual Avodah Zarah, totally tizrem kmo davar. Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, shaketz to shaktenu v'tayiv t'avenu. And according to the Rabbanan, what would be the point of being makishit l'nida? I know what you're going to tell me. So then, instead of using nida, you should use nevela. If you would use nevela, you would never get into the issue of Eben Misama. You wouldn't need to limit the nida by the sheretz, because the nevela is essentially a compromise between nida and sheretz. It's sheretz plus masa without Eben Misama. Boom. So we should have gone straight to nevela, and I would have kept things very simple. So then, what's the point of being makashit l'nida l'masa? L'cherachmano l'nevela, which would handle the whole thing. Ein achinami, sorry, I agree. You're 100% right. Okay, so I need another explanation. Why, according to Rabbanan, is there actual nida? L'kula. It's the tummy, just like a nida is not metame unless the entire body is there. Afa v'dezara, eina l'evarim. Therefore, if you have, now this is how Rashi understands the sukkah. If you have an avodezara, which is one of the most modern, up-to-date Avodah Zarah. After all, if you're traveling around, you don't want to carry a big getchka with you. Not with the way the airlines are currently driving you crazy for your size of suitcases. You want a disassemblable getchka. So there you go. You have your yashka where one hand fits into the other hand and the two hands fit into the foot, you know, and then you take the whole thing apart, you screw one into the other, and there you go. You're ready to worship on the spot. 5 minutes for worship. Take it back apart, make your next plane. Between flights, you can be carrying your handbag. Okay. So this is Avodah Zarah Shel Chuliot. Will one chulia be metame? No, because now you've taken it apart. And this is finally the explanation of me and Julia down at the schoolyard. Nobody ever knew what that was about. This is what it's about. So, the Rambam, and the reason that Rashi learns this phrase, is because if it was talking about a piece of an Avodah Zarah, it would have meant that the Avodah Zarah broke. But if the Avodah Zarah broke, that's all different issues. It's because of Inalei Varim. It's because that's the old Terach story. What have you done to my Avodah Zarah? Can I help it if they got into a fight? Now that, of course, leads you to recognize this is absolutely ridiculous, in which case the whole thing becomes a bottle. If the darn thing can't protect itself from breakage, a lot of good it's going to do me, as the Gemara says. So that gets into the problem of the bittul of the Avodah Zarah. What does that have to do with Eden Matam Levarn? Fine. Ways around that, the Rambam indeed understands the sugya. If the Avodah Zarah is broken in a way that doesn't metame, that doesn't cause the bittul of the Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, it's not metame Levarn. And it's not referring to the broken either, it's referring to the entire thing, is not matam. Okay. But in any event, again, these are mainly sugyot. I don't know, again, besakat avodah zarah, won't go into the gory details over here. And it's coming, according to Rabbanan, entirely lekula, as opposed to the way Rabbah was learning in Rabbi Akiva, that's the whole point, is that the pasuk is telling me, say tomorrow, I'll never go lekula. Get rid of this thing. But wait then, if you're telling me that the whole point of the comparison to Nida is to tell me the Kula, that it's not Matamalei Avarim, how do you explain Reb Chama Bar Guria, who raises the question later on, is Avodah Zarah Yeshin Leivarim or Eina Leivarim? Is it going to be Matame in pieces? That's a ridiculous question. I mean, you just proved to me from the Pusik, and that's the whole point, Tifshit Leimel de la Rabbanan, Eina Leivarim. That's the only reason we're comparing it to Nida according to the Rabbanan. Well, who said that Reb Chama Bar Guria was asking our Libra Rabbana? Of course, he wouldn't have raised the question at all. Reb Chama Bar Guria was asking our Libra Rabbi Akiva by it. This is how Rabba understands the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and the Tanakama. Is it Matame Bevin Misama? Not is it Matame Bamasa? And therefore he comes out with a Machloket about whether it's Matame Levorin or not as the basis of the comparison to Nida. Now, there's an alternative approach to Rabba's, which is just the opposite, and that's Rabbi Eliezer. Now he says that no, on the contrary, nobody holds, says Rabbi Elazar, nobody holds that it's Matami Be'evin Misama. Even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't hold that. Be'evin Misama de Kuleyama lo pligi, that it's not Matama. Ki pligi Be'masa. Question is it even Matama Be'masa? Rabbi Akiva says, well, look, I mean, he got at least a minimum tumal of Anita, right? Anita is Matama Be'masa. So Avodah Zarah is Matama Be'masa. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, it says Shaketz to Shaketzen. That means it's only Matami like a Sheretz. Just like a Sheretz is not Matami Be'masa, so too Avodah Zarah is not Matami Be'masa. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, what would be the point of the comparison to Sheretz? To tell me that the Misham Shevod is only Matame Kisharetz. Okay, so that I need. So in other words, he's saying Lakula Makshina, right? And this, according to this approach. We're Makashit to Nida, but we're not going to be Makashit for the full Chumrah. According to Rabbanan, what would be the point of the Hekesh to Nida? Well, Nida in Lelevarim, like we said, to tell me Lakula. If a Nida is not Matame Bevarim, so too a piece of a portable Getchka is not Matame. So you screw it all together. Now, in this version, we go through the same steps we did in Rabba's version, and we ask, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you're telling me that I'm being makashit lanida. For what purposes? Lemasa? I could have compared it to Nevela for the same price and gotten rid of the whole problem. Why weren't we makashit to Nevela? I guess you're right. So, enafinami, change my mind. That's not the reason. The reason is to tell me a kula, but I too agree. That means everybody agrees that ma nida in a levarim, ava badazara in a levarim. So now we know what's coming. The next point no longer has an answer. So the boy Reb Chama bar Gria, why did Reb Chama bar Gria raise the question of whether or not badazara yes levarim in a levarim? We now know according to everybody it's in a levarim. Tivshet le bein la rebi la rabbanim bein la rebi akiva in a levarim. Now you don't have a way out like you did before. Sure we do. Reb Chama bar Gria was asking according to the way Rabba was learning in the Rabbi Akiva. So according to Rabba, yeah, I know according to Rabban, it's not Matame Levarim. But the way Rabba was learning in Rabbi Akiva, I was asking, to Rabba Matnila, and he was boiling, leave it to Rabbi Akiva, is it or is it not Matame Levarim?